They thought that they could do some window dressing and then just kind of leave, and that you guys would all just accept that, even though the policy was terrible and they weren't getting the job done. Our voters are smarter than that. They thought if they put Trump's name on a weak bill, that people would just say, oh, it must be good just because Trump's popular. People have seen through that. They did things that are going to make it worse to combat illegal immigration than we're even doing now. If that bill passed, we would have been more effective under even Biden in some respects than now, when we have a willing partner in Donald Trump, because they're trying to kneecap state enforcement efforts.
So the level of rhetoric has gone to 11 on this question of whose bill, which special session, and who loves Trump more. The governor talking on Friday at an event about his proposal versus what the legislature has now passed and has not yet sent to him. Joining us now, we have State Representative from District 2, Alex Andrade. That's the southern half of Escambia County, and the beachfront property is over in Santa Rosa County. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew, and welcome to the Twilight Zone.
It's super weird times. I know the governor has been heavy-handed for several years, but the legislature has gone along. It's been a pretty smoothly running operation for the most part. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, we're off the rails, down the embankment, rolled over and into a ditch, trying to figure out what to do here. What I kind of want to do is I just want to play some of the governor and then have you respond. But I'll give you the first, like, 30-second overview. What in the is happening right now? Why is this happening?
I think ultimately, I think it really does come down to ego. I mean, Governor DeSantis is in his final 2 years as governor. He's trying to hold on to like some semblance of, it comes off more aggressive than it should, but like relevancy. And so he's doing this kind of trip around the state on taxpayer dime, by the way, bringing state agency heads with him all across the state, creating this fake narrative to justify vetoing a bill that would be the strongest immigration bill in the country if he signed it. It's a bill that we've worked on with the Trump administration. So he's trying to create this circumstance that allows him politically to veto this bill for improper purposes, when he knows just as well as anybody that this would make Florida an even stronger and the strongest state in the country enforcing illegal immigration.
Watching social media, I see a lot of angry Republicans who are angry at, I think, you guys. They're taking the governor's side. I don't see a lot of people who are angry at the governor and taking your side. But, of course, you know, it's always a question of how well-informed are people or not. And that's kind of why I wanted to have you on today, because he's had his say a lot. And I have tried to represent both sides on this a little bit. But here we go. So first thing, he says the state of emergency has been crucial to enforcement, and you guys get rid of that.
So the bill the legislature sent me, it actually terminates the state of emergency that's unlocked our ability to do all the things we're currently doing. They want to shut it, just as Donald Trump declared a national emergency at the border. They want to shut down Florida's declaration to say this is an important issue, and basically end all the things these guys have been doing, and they're working very constructively. Now, if you were serious about ending illegal immigration, why the hell would you stop the things we're doing that's been effective? But that's what they wanted to do, terminate. That's in the bill.
Alex Andrade, your response?
We create a chief immigration officer, an elected official, who has the power to declare a state of emergency based on immigration. So what the governor is trying to say is somehow he's going to lose the power to declare a state of emergency on immigration. The governor puts immigration enforcement in the hands of an unelected bureaucrat. What this bill does is put immigration enforcement in the hands of an elected official, someone who answers directly to the voters. In this circumstance, it's the Commissioner of Agriculture. The Commissioner of Agriculture, Wilton Simpson, is very close with President Donald Trump. Wilton Simpson, it's no secret, wants to run for governor in 2 years and is hoping for the Trump endorsement and is incredibly close with the president. If DeSantis really thinks that we're going to do anything or the ag commissioner is going to do anything against Trump, he's one, lying to voters, and two, no, it doesn't do away with the current state of emergency. It just says that the person in charge of declaring states of emergency for immigration issues is the chief immigration officer of the state.
Okay, so especially considering the future with political goals in mind, and Wilton Simpson was one of the handful of people that threw an after party at the RNC, which is usually I'm trying to be governor party, and you know, so that I can confirm from experience that there's something to that. But let's take this as I think probably the biggest objection to this the legislative bill raised by DeSantis, and in most people's minds is this one.
They eliminated any immigration enforcement from the governor and our state agencies, and really local in many respects, and they lodged it in the Commissioner of Agriculture.
And you hear some vague booing, Wilton Simpson.
First of all, has that ever been done anywhere in the United States? How often is agriculture viewed as leading the fight against illegal immigration? I don't think I've seen that memo yet.
So agriculture hires workers, migrant workers. The agriculture lobby doesn't love, you know, harsh penalties for illegal immigration. Wilton Simpson, as the, you know, agriculture chief, you're putting him in charge. And as DeSantis says, that's putting the fox in charge of the hen house, which, of course, I'm sure is a jab at him being a chicken farmer. But, okay, your answer, because this has probably been the biggest one that I think people are having questions about.
Here's the funniest thing is, you know which industries hire more illegal immigrants than ag? Restaurants, hotels, and construction. And you know who regulates those? The Department of Commerce and Department of Business and Professional Regulation, two agencies whose bureaucrat heads are appointed by the governor. You know who the governor put in charge of enforcement of E-Verify? Those agency heads. The governor's whole argument is he should be allowed to hand choose an unelected bureaucrat to be in charge of this. And that's not the fox guarding the hen house. But somehow an elected official who goes up on the ballot every few years is somehow the fox guarding the hen house. The patently ridiculous argument, especially when you realize that the governor's record on E-Verify is miserable. We gave the governor the authority to enforce E-Verify on businesses 4 years ago, and he has sent zero enforcement letters in 4 years. And the whole reason why is he put it in charge. He put the responsibility of enforcement of E-Verify at the Department of Commerce, and they've literally done nothing with it. So the governor's record on enforcement is terrible. His record as an administrator, when you look back on the governor's legacy, it's going to be a lot of, you know, bill signing celebrations. You know, he's signing laws that we passed, the legislature passed. It's not going to be his record on administration. And E-Verify is one perfect example of that.
John, the governor, Alex, back to Alex Andrade, the governor says that you're going to create a new bureaucracy and you're going to have to get permission from ICE before you do, or sorry, permission from the Agriculture Commission before you do any communication with ICE.
If they're working to bust like some illegal alien gang, they wouldn't be able to turn them over to ICE unless the Commissioner of Agriculture gave them approval. Who the hell do they think they are to say they need a mother may I from the Commissioner of freaking Agriculture?
Your response?
I don't know what bill he's looking at or reading, but it's not a bill that's in existence. Literally nothing that he just said in that clip is true. Our local law enforcement departments, our local sheriff's offices across the state already coordinating with ICE and the Department of Homeland Security on a daily basis. All the bill says is that the chief immigration officer has to, you know, make sure that all the 287G contracts that are executed between sheriff's departments and state agencies and ICE have to go through their department so that the contracts across the state are all cohesive and they're not missing anything. It's a paperwork function. It's not an operation function, and it stops zero operational activity on day one. What's kind of sickening is that Governor DeSantis knows this, and yet he's lying to the public anyway. We're putting $500 million in state funds towards illegal immigration enforcement. $500 million. Someone has to administer that money. Someone has to administer those contracts. We decided to designate an elected official, a specific elected official, as the chief immigration officer. And we happen to only have the ag commissioner. He's the only cabinet member in existence right now because our CFO just is about to be our congressman, and our attorney general just got sworn into the Senate. He made the perfect sense right now at this point in time to go help President Trump. And by the way, our ag commissioner and President Trump are friends. DeSantis it's made up. It's the most bizarre thing, Andrew. I've never seen anything like it.
Can you answer one other? I thought you had answered, but somebody texted me and said that you had not. I think people aren't aware, and this is a good point to emphasize. Why put law enforcement powers within the Department of Agriculture? That doesn't seem to make much sense. But there's a fact in this that is actually pretty straightforward. What is it?
Well, one, law enforcement powers are in the executive branch, period. The Ag Commissioner already has law enforcement boots on the ground. 200 sworn law enforcement officers the Ag Commissioner already enforces. He's an elected official, and he's operating contracts. The chief immigration officer is not standing up a whole new mini ICE. I think that's the big thing that people are misconstruing. We're not creating new law enforcement departments by this. We're not creating new employees to like start whole investigatory units and kind of like mimic or shadow ICE. And the big difference conceptually between our bill and the governor's is we're not trying to create some like, you know, minor league B team version of ICE. That's what Governor DeSantis wanted to do. He wanted to create like the minor league version of ICE. What our bill does is say we're going to go empower sheriffs, existing law enforcement agencies. We're going to put $500 million to fund it, and we're going to help them work with ICE and Department of Homeland Security. I have a great example of why that distinction is important, but I can talk about it later in the interview, Andrew.
Fair. Well, we are almost out of time, and I hate that to be the case because this has become so frustrating to me to watch because it's elected officials who I respect and admire on both sides. And to see you guys squabbling so heavily with each other over something that basically seems like to me should be easy is frustrating. So what's the outcome here? What do you think happens now? The governor hasn't signed the bill or hasn't vetoed the bill, which you guys named the Trump Act, or your leadership named the Trump Act. Have you guys sent it to him? Oh, you know what? I did have one other quick. Are you guys being threatened that if you don't play ball on this, that you won't get funding or chairmanships? Because that's been another allegation that's been made.
No, no one's threatened me for anything.
Okay.
Here's the whole thing. When Trump sent a plane full of illegal immigrants, deported them back to Colombia, and Colombia used to accept them, Trump, because he's the president, could threaten tariffs, and Colombia had to accept them. They sent the Colombian version of Air Force One to go pick them up. DeSantis wanted this weird magical power to be able to fly illegal immigrants to countries, and he asked for a limitation on liability. Literally, he wanted to be exempt from civil liability, but he also wanted to have money and the ability to fly illegal immigrants to foreign countries on his own. When that foreign country refused Ron DeSantis, he's a governor. He doesn't have the ability to tariff. You know what's going to happen? Our state-funded plane is going to be sent home with its tail between its legs, and it's going to create embarrassment. Ultimately, like with a lot of this stuff, we're trying to save the governor the embarrassment of circumstances like that. He seems to think we're still a state working under the Biden administration, and he doesn't seem to realize that Trump is in the president's office now. We have to go work with Trump. We don't have to set up our own separate wannabe federal departments. We just have to go help the president do what the president said he was going to do. That's what our bill does, and that's what Governor DeSantis doesn't seem to understand.
So what's going to happen now? Is he going to veto it? Is he going to sign it? I mean, and then if he does veto it, then what?
I think what the governor is terrified of is President Trump weighing in. Because I think the governor knows that if President Trump weighs in, he's going to tell DeSantis to sign it. So I think right now what the governor is trying to do is create political cover by lying about us. Like using taxpayer dollars, going this taxpayer-funded tour around the state, lying about us in this bill to try and create enough political cover to still veto it. But, I mean, there's a chance President Trump weighs in, and I think if President Trump weighs in, he's going to say, great bill, why isn't Ron signing it? And if that happens, I think Ron's going to have a difficult couple weeks.
So it might well be that Trump is letting him basically extend the rope until the point where he's going to say sign the bill, and then he's going to have to, or else. Wow,
I've seen President Trump do more brilliant things, but this would be at this point, a pretty funny one if that's what President Trump did.
Well, and, you know, honestly, out of everything you said, aside from the sort of fact explanation, the business about Wilton Simpson wanting to be governor and doing that in 2 years in the middle of the Trump term, meaning that he has to have Trump's support for this, meaning that he wouldn't dare do something contrary to it. That's a very, you know, sort of from a motivational point of view, that catches my attention. Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2. Alex, as always, thank you for being so available and always, you know, having useful things to contribute to the conversation. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Andrew.